on Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Fourth District Alder, my alderman, David Mack, is here this morning. We're going to talk about a variety of topics, Dave. Before we get started, though, he's done with the phone and the pictures. Put the phones down. I got to ask your wife how she handles you at home, because she's a school teacher.
I need to take a picture.
No,
it's my camera.
You've been in here 20 minutes taking on that phone.
You've been fidgeting with your soundboard.
I got to ask your wife how she handles it, because in the classroom, she handles it a certain way with cell phones, something that my school teachers never had to deal with. I got to ask her how she deals with cell phones in the classroom, and I got to do that on my guests. Not only you, we got a lot of people come in, and
I bring my camera to take a picture so I can post it on Facebook.
You've been on your phone for 25
minutes.
You've
been on Facebook now for 10 minutes, a picture that is.
Okay, well, before we talk about anything to do with the city, let's talk about emergency management, because how many years were you working with emergency management?
I think it was like 33, 34
that
years
long.
Total.
Okay.
I started in with the state in 1988. And retired a few years ago. Don't ask me what year I retired, because I don't remember. And you would think that would be a milestone number, but I walked out the door and never looked back.
Now, we don't have too many weather emergencies here. We just, not like they do down south where they
we live in one of the safest areas in the United States when it comes to natural disasters. Yeah, we get occasionally bad storms, but overall we live in one of the safest places to be. We don't have the earthquakes, we don't have the big tornadoes. When we do have tornadoes, they tend to be smaller. That doesn't mean that we can't have one. But generally speaking, this is not an area that gets hit with severe weather frequently. And what we saw the other night was straight line winds.
I was terrified when I saw that. It just bent my flagpole over, mm-hmm. That's a metal flagpole. And then it took a box we had
aluminum?
Aluminum, could be aluminum.
You ever see what happens to an aluminum can when you step on it?
Yeah, but this, I could see it shaking from the wind, and then it just went over. We have a giant box on our porch, and not only did it roll off the porch, it went into the air, and it's a big, giant plastic box, and it took off into the air, and I found it up our driveway. I don't know how I got up at that end, but that's scary to see that. Then we drove through Wind Point, and we saw all the trees down, but I don't mean like small birch trees. I mean giant trees just uprooted. I mean, it's got to take a lot of force to do something like that.
Well, I don't know what the wind speed was, but you had hurricane force gust winds. I'm sure that that evening I was over near your house. I was at the Eagles Club. We had a Fourth Fest board meeting in the basement there, and all of a sudden things started to get dark outside. I ran up to look out the door, and things were flying all over, and there was huge hail, and all of a sudden, and the power went out. And it's like, oops, I guess we don't.
Meeting
over. It was at the tail end of our meeting, but meeting over.
Now, but on Main Street, one side is on a certain power grid, the other side's on a different power grid. Usually ours goes out, and the other side is blinking their lights at us. This time, the other side went out, so they had no power, and we did. We had the power.
I have two friends that live in Wind Point. They live across the street from each other. One had power, and the other one did not have power. So I don't know how they do that, how they figure it out, but, you know, those crews are busy. I don't recall seeing in the city of Racine the number of poles that were either snapped, bent, or down completely as I did from this storm. And I've seen quite a few severe thunderstorms and downbursts over the years, but this one, the poles, the utility poles, really took a beating.
Now, when you were with emergency management, there would have been sirens if there was a tornado, but this was not a tornado. A lot of people think it was, but it wasn't.
No,
it was just... And the rain was going horizontal. It wasn't even vertical rain.
You had 60, 70 mile an hour winds that were pushing it. I saw some pictures where the hail did damage to aluminum siding. I remember there was, I think it was Ozaukee County. Years ago, there was a severe thunderstorm with huge hail, torrential downpour, and straight line winds, and it just shredded people's vinyl siding when those large pieces of hail started hitting that vinyl siding at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. So let's talk about sirens, because they're outdated, antiquated.
Then why is that?
For a number of reasons. One is outdoor warning sirens are meant to be an outdoor warning device. They are not meant to be heard in the house. Now, if you live across the street from one like you do, you're probably going to hear it in the house. But they're not meant to be an outdoor or an indoor warning device. They were meant to warn people outdoors. Number two, they're mechanical in nature, so they may fail. And when they fail and you say, I didn't hear the siren, so you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. I had this philosophy as an emergency manager, no single point of failure. So you build redundancy into your warning toolbox. So I encouraged every household to have a NOAA weather radio, especially at nighttime, where it would go off and let you know. Outdoor warning sirens were only used for tornadoes, not for severe thunderstorms. And a lot of people, after this severe thunderstorm went through, said, why didn't the outdoor warning siren go off? Well, if you would have had a NOAA weather radio, you would have been notified of the severe thunderstorm. But guess what? We don't take severe thunderstorm warnings seriously. Oh, those are severe thunderstorms. They're no big deal. Well, we saw that we had hurricane-force winds. We saw we had ping-pong ball-size hail. And when you couple the hail with those strong winds, you know, that does a lot of damage and can hurt people. Plus, we're lucky that nobody got killed in this. There were trees that went down into houses, chimneys that came and went down into buildings. We saw what happened over at Jane's school. I remember a few years back when I was the emergency manager, there was a house where the chimney, after a small tornado, the chimney fell into somebody's bedroom. Luckily, nobody got killed. That was out in Union Grove. And then the last thing is you keep talking about the cell phones that I'm holding in my hand so that your listeners can see I'm holding it up here.
That's the problem with radio. We can't see you holding it up.
These are the game changer.
Yeah, but that I know what you're going to say. Get the messages on the cell phone. Put the sirens on the cell phone.
Well, you don't have to put anything on there because in a tornado warning, these go off. These will be more reliable than that outdoor warning siren across the street from your house. In my opinion, I'd take outdoor warning sirens out because they give people a false sense of security. And I can say that now because I'm not the emergency manager, but I've just looked throughout the country how people rely on them, but they're antiquated, they're not reliable, and there are other means of warning. And cell phones with the tornado warning that comes across here, there's no way that you're going to miss it.
And that's good. And you'll probably reach almost everybody on a cell phone. There are some people that still don't have updated cell phones. And there are people like me at night. I put my cell phone away now. I got to get away from the cell phone.
Get a NOAA weather radio. Because if you're relying on an outdoor warning siren when, all right, let's put you in storm mode. I know your wife is shutting all the windows because she doesn't want the rain to get inside the house, right?
Well, we don't open them anyway, but still.
Yeah, so you got your house sealed up. Yeah. You're in a deep sleep. I know how loud you've snored because I've been here when you fell asleep at the council when we were doing political coverage. And so There's no way you're going to hear the outdoor warning siren, so get a NOAA weather radio.
Well, I have one. I have weather radio.
So what are you complaining about?
No, I'm not complaining about me. I'm saying I know when a storm's coming. I mean, out of my windows, I could see the west, and I could see it. Plus, I work here, so I know if, you know,
well, you know, ironically, coming. So if you looked at all the damage from this last storm, all the trees and branches went from east to west. Hmm. So I was going back home north on Main Street, and your side of the block, Main Street was all covered with debris, and I had to drive into the lane on the other side of the block in order to get around those trees. But all those trees seemed to fall from east to west. So what it's saying is that storm came off the lake. So, but you're right. Most of the storms around here come from the west, but you do get storms that come off the lake. And I think this one came off the lake.
Now, I did see a lot of trees broken right there on North Beach. They weren't toppled with the roots coming up, but you can see that they were split and branches coming off. I saw that. On my property, I was very lucky. We just had a few minor branches. I mean, stuff you can pick up with your hand and throw and chop up and break. So I was lucky because I have a lot of huge trees. They're all pine trees on my property, and they just didn't topple. But I saw stuff going on the High Street right near Chatham where trees just broke off and laying into the street. And
I saw that over on the 2000 block of Geneva. All of a sudden, I'm driving down Yalt Street, and I'm looking, you know, down the side streets, and there was a branch or something that fell on the wire, the utility wire, and the pole was actually bending over. And then a couple hours later, there was a police officer with the lights on still guarding it. And then we were laying in bed, and it's like 1 a.m., and we're hearing chainsaws. So the city crews were out there cutting up trees.
I heard chainsaws. I
mean, yeah.
And you know what really scares me? When this is all going on, the moment it stops, you hear sirens everywhere, police cars and fire departments. What happened? Where are they going? And I was terrified, David. I was really terrified. I had never seen this kind of weather before. Where I grew up, we just didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And even though I've been living in the Midwest a long time, I've still never, on a trip once through Nebraska, we were next to the town that got wiped out. The skies were black, and we pulled into there was nothing around for miles except the hotel. We pulled in there, and I watched it from the distance. It was terrifying. Also in Bloomington, Illinois once, tornadoes were all over the place. We pulled into a parking lot and let them go by. But it's very scary when you see it, because you have no control over it.
Right.
Nobody's got any control over it. It's not, you can't call anybody and say, can you stop the winds? It's going to happen, and you just got to do your best to hide. And now, I don't know how your house did. The mayor was on here saying he was out. When he got home, there was glass all over the place. The hail broke the window.
Oh, wow.
And there was glass all over his house. And from this big, giant window, he said, and it was everywhere. Now, I felt the hail hitting my windows, and I was looking all over the place to make sure it didn't break, because I want to know immediately if there's a window broken. How'd the storm by you? You don't live that far from me.
No. We actually fared pretty well. I think we had some shingles that blew off.
Yeah, I had one or two of those. Yeah.
But not too bad, because I checked everything afterwards. You know, it's real interesting how a lot of the damage was due, I think, to trees and branches. And so I always look at these storms as nature's way of pruning, because you look at what comes down, and it's the stuff that, you know, it's dead, it's been dead. Finally, you know, the winds broke it off. What's amazing sometimes is you look at a tree that looks healthy, but then it breaks off and it's been all rotted from the inside out.
Yeah.
And I talk about, I do some classes on ethical leadership, and I talk about that, how a person will look whole from the outside, but they've allowed things inside internally to corrupt them, and it's like those trees, eventually they're going to fall.
You know, you mentioned the cell phone. Whenever there's an Amber Alert or so, my phone goes up very loud. Mm-hmm. I think it goes off for tornadoes, too.
Yeah, it's tornadoes, flooding.
Yeah,
hurricanes. There's like five or six different things that it will go off for. And when that came out, at that point, I said, this is a game changer, because everybody carries their cell phones. you're in a meeting and all of a sudden they all go off at the same time and you look at your phone. And we don't have that many tornado warnings in a year. As a matter of fact, you know, this wasn't a tornado here. We were under a tornado watch, but this was a severe thunderstorm we had a severe thunderstorm warning. People just don't take severe thunderstorms seriously.
I do.
But when they pack hurricane force winds, torrential downpours, lightning, hail, there's no way you could have driven in that rain that was coming down. You couldn't see in front of you.
Well, I don't know if I've told this story on the air. We were on a Route 66 trip, and we were coming back. And this is the Bloomington, Illinois story. My wife was driving. She really drives on these trips. But I said, it's a nice day you drive. It turned out to be not a nice day.
Let me guess. You took a nap.
No, I was. It just started to rain. And it was high force winds. You couldn't see the interstate. Couldn't see it. I said, there's a truck in front of it. Just follow his lights. Because you can't see anything else. Mm. You don't want to stop because they'll plow you in on the back because they can't see either. Wherever that truck is going, you're going. And he got off on an exit. And parked at a school, and so we're listening to a radio station, and on Sunday, they happen to have a live announcer on the air, and we're listening to him, and he says, you know, you could see the movement of the clouds above you, and we pulled in there, and after the storm passed, we pulled out, and there was the radio station right next to the school building. Wow. We didn't know it. It was in Bloomington, Illinois. It was terrifying.
Here, I thought you were going to say you followed the truck, and you ended up in Ottumwa, Iowa.
No. But when you can't see...
I've been to Ottumwa, by the way.
Oh, the home of Radar O'Reilly?
Yeah, they have a great... they have this little restaurant. Remember Cupies when it was underneath the parking garage?
No, I don't remember that.
So Cupies was underneath a parking garage, and the city had to tear the parking garage down, and the original Cupies had to go. Well, we go to Ottumwa, Iowa for a loose meat sandwich. This place was famous for it. And it's this little place that reminded me of Cupies, small little diner underneath the parking garage, just like the old Cupies. And it was our 20th anniversary. And I sat down at the counter and I said, my wife and I have our anniversary and this is her anniversary meal today.
That's where you took your wife for an anniversary, loose meat sandwich?
In Ottumwa, Iowa. Do you know how far Ottumwa, Iowa is from here?
That's where you took Amy? All right. Fourth District Alder David Mack is here with me today. And we were talking about emergency management weather in the first half hour. If you want to hear that, we'll podcast it. You'll be able to hear it and we'll tell you when it's up. It should be up by later today or tomorrow. And we'll tell you about that because it's an important information you need. I love the idea of putting it on a cell phone, which it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It probably, because it drags your, it gets your attention. And then you can read what's going on. Where the sirens go off, you really can't read. I know the first Saturday of the month, they always test them at 4:00 in the afternoon. People say, is it bad weather coming? Is it bad weather? But it's a test. And that was a very good half hour. I enjoy it. Thank you, David. I appreciate that.
By the way, I want my own bumper music. Or, you know, the song should say David Mack and Don Rosen.
In the morning.
Yep. So work on that for me.
Yeah.
Next time I come in, I want bumper music.
That's the first thing I'll do as soon as you leave. Work on that. Okay. Now, you have a new committee assignment now in the council. You're a 4th District Alderman. They have different committee assignments. And you just got a new one.
Well,
Or a different one.
I was on when I got elected last year, I was assigned to the Public Works and Services Committee.
Now, what do they do?
My first meeting was like 3 hours long.
Yeah, what do they do, by the way?
Spend a lot of money.
Okay.
We probably spend more money than any of the other committees because we are overseeing the public works projects, the roads, the building repairs, those type of things. So we're dealing with change orders. We're dealing with final payments. We just had two public hearings. And last year, those public hearings, there were a lot of people that turned out for them. This year, not so many. But if you have a road that's never been paved in concrete and the road is failing, they will send out a notice saying, Don Rosen, you live on the 2300 block of Kinsey. And your road has never been paved before, and it's failing, and we're going to charge you $120 a foot frontage foot to repave that road. And you're going to come to the public hearing and say, that road isn't that bad. You know, I've been driving on that road for 50 years, and it can go another 50 years. And if the majority of your neighbors agree that, you know, the road shouldn't be redone, you know, the council's likely to say, all right, we'll give you another 2 years. But some point, Mr. Rosen, we got to redo your road because it's now reduced down to gravel and we're not going to maintain it. So we had public hearings on roads that staff or other people had requested to be redone, and also on alleyways. And then we took that long list. We listened to the public comments. We looked at the feedback that came back. We looked at how bad the roads were. There's a rating system. And then we as a committee decided, okay, this one we'll do, this one we won't, this one we'll do, this one we won't, this one we won't, this one we'll do, and came up with a list. So that list got approved last night at the council meeting. Our council meeting was 3.5 hours long. But anyway, back to, so I got appointed to Public Works. I had previously, in my previous 10 years on the council, I served 8 years on public safety and licensing. My parting gift was being sued in federal court. John Gotti and I have something in common. It's a four-letter word called RICO. I beat my RICO charge. He didn't. But that was quite the ordeal to go through this federal federal lawsuit.
The Teflon Alderman.
Yes, the Teflon Alderman. And then I spent 2 years on finance. And then Corey Mason appointed me to Public Works last year. Never had served on it. And so I'm learning something new. Well, last year, Molly Jones stopped coming to the meetings, and she didn't let us know that she was sick. And so by default, I started chairing the meetings. And then with one meeting to go, the mayor appoints me as the chair of Public Works Committee. One meeting to go. And it's like, okay, could have taken that action a little sooner, but whatever. And then we changed the rules on the council so that the council president appoints the committees, but that the committees elect the chair. So my committee elected me as the chair, and they elected Alderman Perez as the vice chair. And so in the past, the mayor appointed those. Now you should have Sandy Widener on here. She got elected the chair of public safety and licensing by a coin toss. Mm-hmm. There were four people that showed up to the meeting. The vote was 2-2. And Jeff Koh happened to be there, and he had a Susan B. Anthony dollar in his pocket, and he pulled it out, and he flipped the coin, and she won.
Heads I win, tails you lose?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yep.
So now the committee you're the head of now is called?
Public Works and Services.
Now, you're in charge of streets.
Right.
Okay, and you must get, this is why I would never be in politics at all. You're very recognizable. When you go out in public, do you have people come up to you and complaining?
I used to.
I'm not talking about me, because I would never do that to you.
My previous stint on the council, we couldn't eat at a restaurant without the store, the restaurant owner coming up and sitting at our table and talking our ear off for 20 minutes. And that was fine, you know. But it's interesting when people recognize you. Now, sometimes I play coy, like they're like, you look familiar. And I just shrug my shoulders like, I don't know, you know.
I think I saw you on Dateline. They were looking for you. Keith Morrison was looking for you on Dateline. Now, if I mention something to you, I'm not going to be bothering you, I assume. And it doesn't matter who's in charge. When Melissa Caprillion was in here, I used to tell her about it as well. This is not just in Racine. I run into it a lot of places. The manhole covers are so recessed into the street when you hit them with your car. Sounds like you're going to crack a ball joint in your wheel.
All right, so the manhole cover is in the middle of the street, Don. You shouldn't be riding down the middle of the street.
You need to stay to the right
of the center lane, okay?
Not by the zoo. They're not in the center. You can't help it because if you drive
it, I've never hit it, and I live over there.
If I drive over it, I'll take a mirror off one of the parked cars. You can't move over that much. I've tried it.
How come I've never hit it?
Because you're amazing. I'm not. But this is really recess. I don't know. And I was going to take a picture of it the other day, but it was raining, and I didn't want to run into traffic with a ruler and start measuring it. It's got to be a good 3+ inches below the street.
I want to get a picture of you jumping out of your car measuring the manhole cover.
You know what I did do? Do you know how long the white dotted lines are in the street?
Yes. I mean, no, but I know that you got out and measured it.
I measured it, yeah.
I don't think they're as long as you say they are.
They are, because I talked to somebody who's
actually 22 feet long.
No, 12 feet. They're 12 feet long.
Really?
Right. And I talked to somebody who was in here. They were in here with, they were seeing Traffic Safety Commission, but their job was, you know, doing that kind of stuff in the county.
You still have the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission come in?
Yes.
You know who started that?
You?
No, Tom Carco's dad.
Oh, did he really?
And then
Don Carco.
Yeah. And then when Don Carco got off the Traffic Safety Commission, he wrote me into being the chairman of it. And so I used to organize all that stuff. And I'm glad to see that they're still doing something.
No, they're not
something.
Still. They stopped.
Oh, they stopped.
And,
oh,
I called up and I found out who was in charge, who could be Tom Knitter.
Okay.
And I called him. I said, can we start it up again? And he said, yes, we will. And they started from scratch, and they Great. Started up again with a new group of people. And the beginning of every month, I think it's either the first Wednesday or first Thursday of the month, they're in here mm-hmm. talking about their new poster for the month.
Cool.
It's not a physical poster. It's online now. But, yeah, so we got him back.
Wonderful. I'm
but
glad
it's
to see
12
that.
Feet. If you can measure it if you have a 12-foot shoe, 12-inch shoe. Just measure it, and you'll see they're all 12. And this is standardized.
So you jumped out of your car, and
I live on Main Street, so I got out of my car, I just got out there. And
there's Don Rosen
measuring
in the middle of the day, walking down the center of Main Street.
Measuring
people
it.
People are thinking, that young man had a little too many root beers.
Homeless man, crazy. get the net. Yeah, so I measured it, and it's 12 feet. And somebody verified. Yeah, they're all 12 feet. You know how sometimes you see a white line with some black added at the beginning of it? To make it 12 feet.
All right, so.
You should know this. This is your committee.
So we've jumped out and walked down the center of the street.
I didn't jump out. I live there, so I just walked into
the
street.
We're going to jump out of our car and measure sewer manholes.
Yeah, that.
What are their weird stuff?
No, because it's got to be done. Because once someone's going to break an axle, cause a traffic accident, and you're going to say, "Gee, I wish somebody would have measured that." If we only had one good citizen who would have jumped into the street with a ruler, would have measured it and got back to me. We got a text message from one of our listeners.
Let me guess, your wife.
I can't give out names. I could just tell you. It said, "Tell David, I am riding now in my car." Yes, some of the manhole covers are in the middle lane. However, if I try to avoid one of those middle lane manhole covers, I'd be riding in the bike path.
Shouldn't be texting and driving. That's not
good. No, she's got a Bluetooth. She doesn't have to do anything.
Really?
You drive and just talk, and it comes out on that.
Oh, wow.
I know. Now you got to get
You know what? You never did come back to Ottumwa, Iowa, and why I was in Ottumwa, Iowa.
Why were you there?
So,
the home of Radar O'Reilly.
Eldon, Iowa. Do you know what's famous about Eldon, Iowa?
No.
Have you ever seen that picture of that old farmer and his wife holding a
pitchfork? Oh, Gothic.
The American Gothic.
The American Gothic, yeah.
So the American Gothic house is in Eldon, Iowa. And I read a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this woman who bakes pies, and she lives in the American Gothic house. She rented it at the time, and she had a pie stand on Saturdays. So I said to my wife, and she used to bake pies for like Barbara Streisand, and she wrote a book. So I said to my wife, let's go for our anniversary. We'll drive down on Friday night, stay in the Quad Cities where my aunt lived at the time. She lived in Port Byron, Illinois, across the river from LeClaire, Iowa. LeClaire is where the American Picker store is, antique archaeology.
Yeah, I know.
And then the next morning, we'll get up early and we'll drive another 3 hours to Eldon, Iowa. So we go to Eldon, Iowa. Well, in the article, she said that the Loose Meat restaurant in Ottumwa was her favorite. So I planned it so that we went to Eldon, and then they have a visitor center there, and they have this backdrop, and they have a place to stand on the patio, and they loan you the clothes and a pitchfork, and they set it up so you can get a picture in front of the
Gothic house,
American Gothic,
yeah.
Just like the painting.
Yeah.
All right. So then we did that, and then we went over to the house, knocked on the door. And usually she doesn't let people in the house. She has a pie stand outside. But that day she was peddling the pies out of the kitchen. So you stood in the living room.
Peddling.
So we actually got to go inside the American Gothic house, got to meet her. I brought her book, got it autographed. And we sat outside on the picnic table. We bought a slice of pie and then we bought a couple pies to go.
Where are they?
Excellent pies.
Where are they? How come they're not here?
That was 15 years ago. That was 15 years ago.
Don't you bring
if you want me to bring you a pie that's 15 years old, now, I'll go back. But
there was a TV show that recreated that, a very popular TV show. Popular.
Recreated what? My trip to
American Gothic.
Okay.
It was at the beginning of Green Acres. Don't you remember?
Yes, I do.
Eddie Albert and Ava Gabor. They recreated the beginning of it.
So anyway. Your wife would probably, you guys would probably do something like that too.
Because we do a ton of road trips and we get all these.
How else you celebrate your 20th wedding anniversary? And then then we drove back. We brought my aunt a pie. And that night she treated us to, we all went on a riverboat, on one of those paddle boats on the Mississippi River. And we had a dinner cruise. So it was really neat.
Well, I'm coming up to my 20th next year.
It's been that long already.
Yeah. Well, don't say it like that.
I knew your wife before you did.
I know.
Used to work with her at Racine County.
Yeah, she still works there now. She works at the hospital. She also works for the county. But she worked for Caledonia Police for a number of years.
And when I found out she married Don Rosen, I was like, wow.
She must have. What happened to her? Must have been some kind of bump on the head and she woke up. We were watching on CBS Sunday Morning, that show on Sunday Morning. They did a story on these two old ladies that make hamburgers in Moonshine, Illinois.
Never been to Moonshine, Illinois, but it's got to put it on the list.
It's about a block. Anyway, they said they're the best hamburgers in America. So we took a drive down to Moonshine, Illinois, just a day trip to get down there. And we went down, and there's a line going into the store. It's just ground beef. They cook it, and they put it on a burger. There's no seasoning, nothing.
Loose meat.
Well, it's not loose meat, but I know what you're talking about when you say loose meat. It's a hamburger. Mm-hmm. It looks like a quarter pounder, but it's not. And they do it until a certain hour. I think it's like noon or 1 o'clock, and then they stop, and it's all over. And if you're online, too bad. The curtain's down. The audience is filing out.
There's a place near KC,
Illinois. By the way, I bought a T-shirt, Moonshine, Illinois.
Yeah, there's a place. I wonder if it's the same place. Not just outside of KC, Illinois. There is a place that was on like Good Morning America or one of those. And same thing. They serve till 1 o'clock, and that's it.
You could be online, the curtain's down, the audience has to file out.
Have you been to KC, Illinois yet?
Yes.
Home of the big things?
Yes, yeah. I've been there, yeah.
It's a fun
big rocking
town.
Chair and everything?
Yep,
been there.
So years ago, I was headed down to Springfield, Missouri, and we stopped off of Route 66 there. I forget what town it was, but there was the world's largest rocking chair.
Yep, been there.
And then these guys in KC, Illinois built one slightly larger, and then this little town, no longer the world's largest rocking chair. So twice now I've had a picture taken in front of the world's largest rocking chair.
In different stages.
In different states. two different states.
They said even David's getting smaller or the chairs are getting bigger. We can't tell. We do road trips. We're a member of the Route 66 Association of Illinois, so we always go to their banquets and everything. I've had a good time. I love road trips. We put a crimp in it when they had COVID because a lot of the places weren't open. But we're back. We were just in Monroe, Wisconsin the other day and doing everything cheese in Monroe. I loved it.
Have you been to Seymour?
I think so.
Seymour, I think, is the hamburger capital where the hamburger was invented.
Yes, yes, yes. Right.
So they have a hamburger museum there. I haven't been there yet, but it's on the list to do.
I love having you in. I always have a good time. We didn't talk about a lot of city stuff, but I had a good time with you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we never got to talk about the curse of Oak Island, but I didn't get to watch it last night, so I don't know if they found the treasure or not.
He sent me this text message. I said, the heck is this guy talking about?
Well, what do you want to talk about? So I put, let's talk about the season finale of the curse of Oak Island.
David Mack is our 4th District Alder for the city of Racine, does a lot of other stuff, but that's why he was in this morning.